Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland in today for Carl Gerke. And joining me now, it's time for our regular lawn and garden segment for our spring and summer months. Horticultural specialist Norm Evers joins me now. He is the owner of Norm's Greenhouse and Nursery, a family-owned and operated second-generation Destination South Dakota greenhouse. Norm, thanks for being with us today on Dakota Midday. It's a beautiful day, but some recent temperatures have been rather cold. What kind of impact is this having?
Well, it has been up and down, but so far we haven't had a freeze.
So no freeze, but cold temperatures, do we, you know?
Just a second, we got some feedback here.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, so last couple of weeks it's been rather cold, rather rainy. Good for plants, bad for plants? I know there was a night where we had to cover some plants.
Well, I had some real tender plants out on the deck, coleus, and I didn't cover them, but I did notice a little nipping around the edges of frost damage. That was last Friday or Saturday.
And so do we need to replant? Do we need to fix this? Or do you think over time they'll recover? Or does it depend on how young
they're already recovered. So it wasn't a real long cold spell, and it lasted a short time, and it warmed up, so no problem.
So should all gardens be planted by now?
No. See, we right here in the Aurora area, we don't think it's safe to plant tender things like tomatoes and melons, squash, and all the tender stuff out until June. And we're into June now, just first of June. But I planted as late as June 15th and had a great garden.
Okay. So it all depends on where you are.
It's not too late by any means. Okay. I'd rather plant once than twice or three times.
But people get a little itchy. Early in May, it was nice.
Well, that's the nature of the climate here in this country. We had some 80-degree days in April and 2 days in a row, and everybody got excited that we're going to get things in. And since then, we haven't had an 80-degree day. In fact, we haven't had much over 70 since then.
Right, right. So not everything froze, and they should recover, though, if they got a little nipped.
A little nipped didn't hurt them, no.
Okay. So if I want to get into gardening but I don't have a lot of money, what do you recommend for gardening on a budget?
Well, most of the things you can plant from seed now. For example, melons. You can plant seed of melons and they'll come just about as fast as if you did a transplant and still get a ripe melon, and cucumbers and so on. Tomatoes, a little different. They need to get a head start a little bit, get going. But most everything, you can plant seeds and get a good garden without having to buy transplants.
And so that doesn't cost as much at all?
No. In fact, right now, I think a lot of the seed racks, you can they got them on sale. But I've seen garden centers selling corn in pots to be transplanted, and that's ridiculous. But I think that's for the naive gardener who has never gardened before. But I think most things you can start from seed in the vegetable garden yet. You know, like cauliflower, broccoli, and kohlrabi and so on, they benefit by using transplants. You get that much jump on them, and you get ahead of the hot weather, and that's one of the reasons why you plant some of the cold crops with transplants. You get ahead of that hot weather. Mm-hmm. Like cauliflower, don't like it too hot.
So I have, I think it's pronounced dianthus.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, yep. It's the fire witch. It's bright pink.
Yeah.
But this year when they opened, some of them were white. They've never been white before. Why would they be white?
Are they pure white?
Yeah. Well, a couple of them are. Just in one little corner of the patch. Why would some of them be white?
Well, plants are nature's sometimes puzzle, because They sometimes mutate. They get a mutation that's mm-hmm. different than the plant you put. That's where a lot of our, for example, variegated trees, like variegated maple and variegated shrubs and golden shrubs and golden perennials, they're all mutations from the species. And you propagate them vegetatively and give them a name, and then you got a new cultivar. And that may be what's happening with your dianthus.
Oh, see, my daughter just thought it was old, like her mother, and was just
was
turning
white.
My daughter just thought it was an old plant and turned white like her
mother.
No. So it's part of the mutation, and over time, then they go back to their original?
Well, they can. If it isn't a very stable mutation, it will revert back, or it may not. And the ones that don't revert back are usually propagated vegetatively by cuttage and increased, and then you have a new type of plant.
Oh, okay.
That's how a lot of new plants come about.
So do we just let it go?
See
what happens next year?
I would just let it go. Is it fairly attractive?
Oh, it's beautiful, yeah.
Well, then I would just leave it go.
Okay. I won't worry about it then.
No.
Okay. So we have a question from a listener that lives in a new development and under a homeowners association, and they have trees that are only a few years old, and the company hired to take care of the landscaping insists on trimming all of the lower branches off completely. Is that a good idea? Is that a good thing to do on relatively young trees?
I don't recommend it, and we don't recommend it at our nursery here. And I'll tell you the reason why. The reason why is that branch is there because the bud that grew that branch had enough light to grow. And that branch got leaves on, and it's making energy to the process of photosynthesis. And that energy is taken back into the tree and utilized for new growth and or stored. And if you take that branch off, it's going to grow another bud there because there's enough light there to stimulate growth. And, in other words, you're losing ground because you're taking away as much energy as it's making. And I don't know why they want to do that, other than that maybe the neighbors do it. But they do it probably for the reason that they want to mow underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't recommend having grass underneath these newly planted trees either, because the tree roots grow horizontally. They don't go deep. And they're located in the top 6-8 inches of soil. And if it's like most newly developing areas, they don't have that much topsoil. And therefore, the topsoil they got, that's where your roots are going to be for your tree. And they go out horizontally. And they'll go out as far as the tree is tall in a couple of years. And eventually they'll fill out a huge area. But here's what we recommend. Don't prune those branches off. Leave them be. They're energy producers. And chances are if you do prune them off and it's a thin bark tree like a maple, and there's other trees that do it too, honey locust, a maple, they'll get what they call a dead bark in the south, the tree sunscald. The bark will fall off in the southwest side of the tree where the sun hits it the brightest because there's no protection from other branches. And then you got another problem. But anyhow, you don't take them off. And then you mulch the area at least a 5 to 6 foot circle around that tree using an organic mulch, wood chips, bean straw, or whatever. And it works real well, and people who have done it think it's the greatest thing since invention of the tree. But it works, and you solve a lot of problems and don't create new ones.
5 to 6 feet of a circle under that tree?
Yep.
Really, that big of a new tree?
Well, that's not big. I got mine 8 to 10 feet.
Okay.
And some say, well, how does that look? And I says, well, it depends on what you're used to.
Right.
And I says, a lot of people plant shallow-rooted perennials in there or long-lived perennials in there and make a little flower bed around the tree. I've done that for years, and it works.
And that's okay to do.
Yeah, that's fine because annuals and perennials are fairly shallow rooted, just like the tree, and they require moisture too. But if you got the whole area mulched, you don't have to do as much, near as much watering.
Not near as much. How about fertilizing? Do you fertilize young trees?
I never fertilize a new tree, plant a tree. And right. I had an experience last week where a customer brought a sample of four different young trees he had planted. They were only 3 to 4 trees when he planted them. He planted them this spring. And he brought me the sample of each one of them. The leaves were completely black. And I thought, first it was windwhip. And then I got to think, well, wait a minute, they wouldn't all be black. And I said, what kind of care did you give them? He said, how long have they been there? He said, well, I just planted them this spring. And I said, well, what kind of care did you give them? And here's what he did. He says, I mulched them good, and I thought, that's good. He did mulch a 3-4 foot circle around each one of them. And I says, and anything else? And he said, yeah, I fertilized them. I said, what kind of lawn fertilizer do you use? He said, lawn fertilizer. I said, well, I see, that's not a good idea. I says, first of all, lawn fertilizer, you've got a weed killer on it. And that's not good for around a newly planted tree. And I asked him, I says, was that tree growing in soil or was it in something else? He said, well, it was in some kind of bark. And it was only a 3-gallon tree. Well, I could just see what happened. He threw a couple hands full of fertilizer around that tree, and then he watered it in, and it dissolved all that fertilizer, and it just burned the roots right off of that tree. And the leaves turned black. And the leaves turn black when you kill the roots. They don't turn brown and drop one by one. They turn black immediately, almost 24 hours. And if it was drying out, you'd see the leaves from the tree, top of the tree, start getting thinner and dropping one by one, but you never see the bottom leaves drop.
And so is the tree done? Do you need to remove it?
Oh, yeah. The ones that leaves are all black like that, those trees are done. They're history. And that's the thing you got to be careful of. You know, we're humans, and we've been taught that you're going to get a lot more growth if you fertilize things. So then we overdo it.
Okay. Norm Evers, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday. We are out of time today. Thanks for being our guest today.
Nice
I appreciate
to
it.
Thank you.
I want to thank Norm Evers for being on the program today. Also, Ernie Goss and Troy Larson. Also, special thanks to Charles Michael Ray, Steve Zwemke, Steve Munson, Owen DeYoung, Scott Jensen, and Chris Loffrey for their assistance with the program today. I'm Kara Hetland. Carl Gerke is back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.